So tell us some of the issues you were facing then, and you're beginning to kind of get your wheels under you of being a management executive and all. They weren't just finding work for you to do now. Now you had a real job.
I had a job.
Right, right. And so what were you doing?
Well, as president of the pipeline, obviously, is managing the whole enterprise. And then when I became president of Northwest Central, one of the issues was what are we going to do with a company in Oklahoma City when we're headquartered in Tulsa, and the decision was made early on that we were going to relocate to headquarters. And so I had an interesting initial exposure to the employee base, because my first discussion with them was, well, we, we're part now of the Williams companies, and they hadn't really asked for me. I was kind of thrust upon them as the new president of that pipeline.
Up Northwest
Central.
Central Pipeline.
Yeah, and had an all-employee meeting and said, well, we're going to relocate. We're going to relocate to Tulsa because we need to be where the parent company is, and we're an important part of it, and it just makes sense. And this was in December I was doing this. I said, we'll move at the end of the summer. I said, I've got some experience moving in with children. It's better to do it just before school starts, and then they get re-socialized very quickly. If you do it at the beginning of summer, they've got all summer to be unhappy. And so this company had been there almost 100 years at that point. And so there was a certain amount of angst among the employees.
And again, that was where?
In Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
That they were going to have to move. And I said, well, one of the questions was, isn't that pretty abrupt? And I said, well, I understand that moving can be traumatic. I said, I've done a lot of it. But even doing a lot of it, Pat and I had standards. And standards we never violated. So we never moved on less than one day's notice, and we never moved with a baby that was less than one day old. And so it can be done, and we're trying to do it in a way but we're also going to look at the organization. And they had a very top-heavy organization, which wasn't uncommon in the natural gas pipeline industry at the time. And so we went from something like 14 or 15 vice presidents to 4. And then just went through the organization chart, and the field operations typically don't get impacted very much. Mm-hmm. But where you tend to see the growth is in the administration and overhead. And so we slimmed the organization down, but said, everybody on that organization chart, we're going to move under company benefits. We'll buy your home if you can't sell it. We'll pay for your move, the whole thing. I don't care if you work in the mailroom or if you're in a corner office. And we came over that fall, and we ended up being the number one performer among the business units in Williams United Way campaign that year.
Oh, in the United Way, yes.
And one of the things that I apparently said a few times is that, we want to make sure that everybody has a full plate. And that, you don't want to, I want people to come in the morning. I want you to look forward to coming in, because you're going to be doing something that's important. There's not an unimportant job if you've got work that needs to be done. And I want you to look up in the afternoon and say, where did they go? Mm-hmm. And if you're not doing that, then that you may not have a full-time job. You may not be doing something important. I want everybody to be doing something important. And so you need to have a full plate. And so when we had our celebration at the end of the move, they gave me a little keychain disc that they had made for everyone. It says, we've all got a full plate. It says, full plate.
So, well, that's cute. So how many came over from Oklahoma City?
We probably, I can speak more in terms of floors. We had a full floor. Everybody came. I think everyone that was offered an opportunity to come came. And then we had, as we changed the organization, we carved out a floor in the building there, put services for people to find jobs. We used the tools of early retirement and incentives like that. But we downsized the headquarters pretty significantly.
But I'm thinking, you didn't have any training for any of this. You were an engineer.
Well,
you didn't go to management school. You didn't, did you? I mean, all of a sudden, you're managing all these people, and I don't hear any training. What I'm trying to get to, obviously you had a lot of natural skills for that. Am I right?
Well, no. I actually attribute a lot of it going back to Conoco, because I think that training program really was ultimately a management training program.
Okay.
Because as an example, they might start on a training review saying, well, what did you do? Well, I put in a pump. Now, why did you put the pump in? Well, because we needed to increase flow rates. What kind of pump was it? And then they go through all the engineering and physics of the pump. Next thing you know, well, how did you know you could get the flow rate up? And then you go through the engineering and physics of the pipe. But then they flip and say, well, who's paying for it? Well, I wrote an AFE. Yeah, but who's paying for it? Well, we had customers. Well, how do we know what they're going to pay? Well, we have a tariff. Well, what's in a tariff? And those are the terms and conditions of doing business with the pipeline. And so then they just kind of built back up to the point that you were looking at it in a more holistic way. Mm-hmm. And I ended up, through the various jobs at Conoco, there were a number of joint venture pipelines, and I ended up on joint venture boards. Working with that were not public boards, but boards with partners that were operating and managing pipelines. And I think just the way they approached training was such a comprehensive way that really led to kind of management skills. And that served well then as you moved on.
Yeah.
But you learn stuff. I mean, every time, I think one of the best descriptions of what happens over a career when you have one like mine is it's a graph that starts with a line in the lower left corner that goes in a straight line to the upper right corner. Everything above the line is abstract. Everything below the line is tangible. Mm-hmm. Or vice versa. It's everything above is tangible and everything below is abstract. And they say, well, when you're starting, everything you're doing is very tangible. You go home at night, you know exactly what you've accomplished.
Right.
Which is one of the appeals of engineering, of construction and building things and that sort of thing. Got very tangible markers. If you're in that ultimate corner office, what you do every day, you have no idea. It may have an impact 5 years from now. It may have an impact after you're gone. And I think that migration is not a comfortable migration for everybody to be able to go from completely tangible outputs to very abstract kinds of outputs.
Of all the executives, were you the only engineer trained? I mean, John wasn't, was he? He wasn't.
John, I think, was an engineer. And he was, because he was in the CBs, and I believe he had an engineering background.
Okay.
Joe, actually, I think, had been in divinity school at one point. David was an engineer. His brother was an engineer's engineer. David, actually, when I came over, had already separated from the Williams companies. He had Williams Brothers Engineering and had traded his Williams stock in for Williams Brothers Engineering. We shared a building there in the Kennedy building. Mm-hmm.